Okay, boys, so today's daf is daf Hey. We're starting on the final line of Ayin Tes Amid Beis, where the Gemara begins Tanya Rebbe Oimer, top of Pei Amid Aleph. Kol Ashiurim Kulon Bekezayis Chutz Mitumas Oichlin. Normally, anything having to do with food, the shear is a kezayis. So you're not allowed to eat nevela, you're not allowed to eat chazer, you're not allowed to eat treifa, you're not allowed to eat basa b'cholov. All of those, there's only an oinish if you eat a kezayis or more. Even less than a kezayis, of course, it's osur. Machloik is between Rabbi Yochan Rishlokish, chatzi shir osam and atoira midrabonon, but it's osur. But to go and get petch, the minimum shir is b'kezayis. Continues in Gemara, chutz! Mi tumas oichlin, except if you're talking about tumas oichlin. Vos says tumas oichlin, that if you have a person who's tamei and touches food, and you want the food to become tamei, or if you have food which is already tamei and you want it to go and be metamei other food, what is the shear? There the shear is different. Our Gemara doesn't tell us what the shear is yet. But in Yet Hashem, we'll have that in another few lines, that the din of Tumas Oichlin is Kibeya. Is the Machloikas Rishonim Rashi and Toisis, when we say Tumas Oichlin Kibeya, does that mean the transmitter has to be at least, or it has to be at least Ochel of Kibeya or more? Or do we mean that even the recipient has to be a Kibeya or more? So that's a machloikis. But bottom line is, we have a din of Tumas Oichlin B'Kibeya, and the question is, why? Why is Tumas Oichlin Kibeya? Says Yimur, I'll tell you why. Sheshin HaKosev B'Mashmo'on B'Shinu Chachomim B'Shi'uran. The reason is because the Torah changed the Lashon slightly when it comes to the din of Tumas Oichlin, and since it made that change, therefore the Chachom said, oh, the Rabbi Nishlim's kavana was that it shouldn't be a kezayis like all shiurim, but it should be something larger, and that's a kebeya, as we'll see in the Gemara. Now, how do I know that just because it happens to be a shinoi in the lashon of the pasuk, that means automatically that there's a shinoi in the shiur? Says, you have a rai from Yom Kippur. I have a rai from Yom Kippur. What's the ride from Yom Kippur? Mein shina kosa bin mashmoi. Where do I see by Yom Kippur that the Kodesh Baruch Hu changed the lashon? Somebody has his. Please put your.
That's me.
Okay, thank you. Just please put you on mute because we hear noise. Anyway, getting back to Yom Kippur, third line from the top of the Yomid Varei the W Yom Kippurim. Mein shina kosa bin mashmoi. Where was the Torah changed? How did it change its lashon? Therefore, would that indicate that the shear is not a shear kezayis as usual? From the pasuk miloi seuna, that's number aleph here. My Torah or Hashalem, kichol nefesh asher loy seuna beyetsam hayoyim hazeh v'nichusam me'amel. Whoever is not ma'an himself v'hayoyim hazeh on Yom Kippur, and we've already learned a number of times that the din of inoy, the real major inoy that we're talking about, is the iser of achila, and the Torah could have said ki kol hanefesh asher yoichal, or the Torah could have said loisoichal, loisoichlum, loyeyachel, a lashon of achila. Why does the Torah use a lashon of inoy? And therefore, ma'ishin acham b'shiurah, the Torah changed the shiur to kekoisvis. So bottom line is, I see that when the Torah changes the Lashon, it usually means that there's a kavanah to change the Shiur as well. So just like by Yom Kippur, we changed the Lashon, and the Chacham said, oh, the Shiur is Kekoisvis. So too, by Tumas Ochlin, the Torah changed the Lashon, and therefore the Shiur is a Kebeya. Now, what is this change in the din of Tumas Ochlin? That we'll see in another two, three lines. But in the meantime, the Gemara asks, "Umay Rai Ledover Yom Kippurim? Why do I have to go and bring a Rai from somewhere else? Just the fact that the Torah changed the Lashon by Tumas Ochlin alone should be sufficient to mandate, or at least to suggest, that the Chachamim are going to change the Shiur. Why do I need to bring proof from Yom Kippur? I have proof from this case alone of Tumas Eichlin, that since there's a change in the Lashon, there should be a change, or there could be a change in the Shir. Says Yimar, I'll tell you why. The Imei Hasan, if you were learning just for Tumas Eichlin, have a mina orcha dikrohu. Because there I would say that the Shinui Lashon is not that significant. And therefore, perhaps, we shouldn't change the Shir. That's why bring a raya from Yom Kippur, that any type of change will mandate, or at least will suggest, that there should be a change in the Shir. Now the question is, I don't understand, what do you mean? What change is there by Tumas Eichlin? And why is it not so significant? So the Gemara is going to tell us in another two lines. If you look at Oz Beis, or number two, in your Torah Or HaSholem, when it comes to the din of Tumas Eichlin, it says, Mikol Oichel Asher Ye Ochel, Asher Yovei Olav Mayim Yitma, V'chol Mashke Asher Yishase, V'chol Kli Yitma, Mikol Oichel Asher Ye Ochel, any type of food item, Asher Yovei Olav Mayim, that water has come upon it, meaning that it's Mukhshir Lekabel Tuma, and the same thing every Mashke, V'chol Kli Yitma has a din that it can become Tumei, or at least it's now susceptible to Tumah. So now the question is, explains Rashi, why does it say Mikola Oichel Asher Yeyochel? Wouldn't it be enough to say Mikola Oichel Asher Yovei Olav Mayim Yitma? Mikola Oichel Asher Yeyochel, these two extra words, Asher Yeyochel, seem to be totally superfluous. In English you would say, from any food item that you eat. What do you mean? Of course that's what a food item is designed for, to eat. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu created food. So what does that have to say? Mikol Oichel, any food, Asher Yochel, that will be eaten. Mikol Oichel. And therefore that is the Shinui. And the Gemara is therefore saying, if that was the only Raya, that there's a Shinui HaKosif, and therefore let's the Chacham now have the right to go and stipulate what the Shir is, if it would only be from the case of Tumas Eichlin, have a mina orcha dekrohu, I would go and say that that's the way people speak, and lahavdil, that's the way the Torah speaks, that it says kol eichel asher yachel, but really it didn't mean anything significant in terms of changing the shiurim. That's why I bring a raya from Yom Kippur, that any time there happens to be changes that suggest that the chachamim have been empowered to go and tell us what the shiur is. Zokti Mora, Tumas Eichlin Kebeya, Minolan. How do we talk and know the din of Tumas Eichlin Kebeya? You've satisfied me that if there's a change, we can go and make a change in the Shir. But, number one, what's the Makar, what's the source that there is a change in the Lashon? Number two, why do we assume it's Kebeya as opposed to anything else? Rebavo is saying in the name of Rebbe Lazar. That's important, because later we're going to have Rebavo saying on his own. So Amr Rebavo, Amr Rebelozer, the Amakra. The passage that we quoted a moment ago, Mikola Oichel Asher Yeyochel, Oichel Habo Machmas Oichel. The Torah meant with this Lashon, Mikola Oichel Asher Yeyochel, not just to speak in a folksy manner, that any type of food that you eat, or that is eaten. But the Torah meant something. It meant to say, Oichel Habo Machmas Oichel, any food item which is a derivative, an offspring of a pre-existing ochel. Ve'ezezem, what is that? Be'ez tarnegolus. Because the mami of this be'a is a hen, which is an ochel. You can go and eat it. The be'a, of course, is also to be eaten. So that's the mikola oichel asher yochel. An ochel which is not brand new on its own, but it's an ochel which stems, which was born to a pre-existing ochel. Aha! And therefore, says the Gemara, what is that case of an ochel abo machmas oichel? That's a beis tarnegolus. That's an egg. An egg is ochel abo machmas oichel, and that's the shear. The shear is an egg. And of course, the Gemara asks obvious questions. They magdi. Maybe the shear for Tumas Eichlin is that of a large or a small lamb or a small goat. Gdi in the Torah is usually succeeded by the word izin, and then a gdi izin would mean a kid goat, but gdi on its own can mean both a kid goat as well as, if you will, a kid lamb. We don't usually say kid lambs, we mean kid sheep, a young lamb. So therefore the Gdi is also an Ochel, and its mother and father were also Gdoyim, and therefore they were also at least Izim or Tzayim. And that being the case, it's an Oichel Machmas Oichel. So why don't we say that that's the Shear for Tumas Oichel? Everyone, because Mechusa Shechita. The Gdi, when it's born, you cannot go and automatically eat it. You have to first go and check it. So when it is born, it's not an Ochel yet. It has the potential of being an Ochel, but it's not an Ochel at that moment. Yes, Barry?
So is the Tarnagol. So is the Tarnagol. We're saying that the Ochel Machmas Ochel. Mm-hmm. When the Tarnagol is laying the egg, it's not
Mm-hmm. If you look at the Rashi, Mechusa Shechita, in the middle of the Amid, Mechusa Shechita, Kishiyatza, Mitoicha Oichel Shenoitzer Boy, when the Gdi was born, Lav Oichel Nikri, it was not called an Oichel yet, Le'inyan Tumah, Loihu, V'loi Imoi, as you just pointed out. Both the Gdi is not edible, you gotta shecht it, and the Mami is also not edible, you gotta shecht it. The Mechusri Shechita, you have to go and have Shechita. So apparently, why did Rashi throw in Lehu V'loi Imoi? Rashi's trying to say, to be an ochel, machmas ochel, both of them have to be roy to eat at the same time. Mashenkin, the gabi, the kid, the case of the egg, if at least one of them is roy to eat without shechita, that being the egg, so even though the mother is not roy to eat without shechita, but at least it's not an, you don't have that same double whammy, that same problem. By Gdi, you have a problem that both the mother and the baby need shechita. So therefore there's a problem with the Ochel Machmas Ochel on both levels. Mashenke Magabe, the Peyer, he was born late by the Tana Gargis, at least the egg can be eaten, you don't need Shechita. So therefore it's more likely then that when we're talking about Ochel, we're talking about the egg of a Tana Gargis, as opposed to talking about a Gdi. But you're going to see shortly the Gemara is going to come on to a second shot. Why don't we say we're talking about a ben pekuah? Everybody knows the case of ben pekuah, where you shechted a mommy animal that was previously pregnant, and when you open up the mommy, wow, unbelievable! Inside it, there happens to be another baby animal that didn't have a chance to get born yet. That baby animal, if it is alive, this is a machloikis masechtas chulin, whether or not you need shechita for the baby or not. But the Rabbim hold, the Rabbanim hold in the Gemara, that you do not need Shechita, because the Shechita of the Mami is Mitarosoi, and you can eat it the way it is. So even though it's a live animal, you do not need Shechita. You presumably need to go and kill the animal because of the din of Baal Tishachtzu. It says, for instance, when it comes to fish you don't need Shechita. But that doesn't mean you're allowed to go and eat the fish alive. You got to wait until it's dead, and then you eat it. Otherwise, you are even about to shock. So, same thing applies to grasshoppers for the Yemenites and others that still have a mesoida to eat grasshoppers. But bottom line is, the Gabi Ben Tekua doesn't require shechita. Since it doesn't require shechita, so maybe that's what the Torah is referring to, that's the minimum shear for purposes of the Tumas Oichlin, not a shear kebeya, but a shear of an animal ben pekua. Every more toy in Korea, even a ben pekua you can't eat on its own. The Mishnah Maseches Chulin says, when you find such a ben pekua, koiroi umoitzi es domai, meaning that there's a din of dam like all animals. And that being the case with the din of dam, you got to do malicha. That can take an extra hour or two. So it's not that you can eat it immediately, as opposed to an egg, which as soon as it comes out of the mami, if you boil it for half a minute, you already have a soft-boiled egg. It's already ready to eat. So that's not oichel, habo machmas oichel. Vaytimor ve'ema beis bar yuchni. Fine, granted. We're not going to talk, therefore, about an animal. Let's talk about eggs. Who says we're talking about a beis tanigoylis? Maybe we're talking a beis bar yuchni. Bar yuchni is a huge bird, and the Gemara Masechtas Bechoros talks about such a huge bird that one time such a bird was flying and it laid an egg mid-flight. The egg fell down and it destroyed 60 towns or villages. If you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Yomid, the Bar Yuchni, I God will hold this is a huge bird. This is probably somewhat of a guzma, somewhat of an exaggeration. But anyway, you get the idea that a Bar Yuchni is a huge, large, large bird. So who says that we're talking about that the shiur of the Tumas Oichlin is a Bayez Tarnu Goyis? Because it's Oichel Machmas Oichel, or a Bo Oichel Bo Machmas Oichel. Why don't you say the Bayez Bar Yuchni, which of course is a much larger shiur? Everything was tefasim, rubel loy tefasim, tefasim mu'ud tefasim. We have a Talmudic rule that any time we have a choice of which we should go and choose, we always choose the smaller chidush and not the larger one. To go and say that we're talking about the Beis Bar Yuchni, which is a huge, huge egg, that's a merubah. So tefasim, rubel loy tefasim, if the chacham are now being empowered and authorized to figure out what the proper shear is, they wouldn't go and grab such a huge Bar Yochni egg, rather going to talk about the smaller Beis Tarnagot. Frank Demora, once you've come up with that svara, by the way, you can use that svara now also to answer the previous two kashas. That would be the reason why we wouldn't take a Gdi and we wouldn't take a Ben Pekua, because there too it would be a Tefasta Maruba Loi Tefasta, Tefasta Mua Tefasta. So you no longer need to come on to the svaras of Mechusa Shechita or Torn Kriya. But Frank Dimar Ve'ema Be'yasa Ditziparta V'zutetuva, I have a better shear. Let's go and take one of these small little birds, a small little pigeon. It lays an egg. That egg is only half the size, a third the size of a Be'yas Tarnagoylis. And since you're saying Tefasta Merubu Le Tefasta Tefasta Mu'a Tefasta, maybe that's the shear. Aklein Shige Egala, a small little eye, the egg of a tzipor, of a tzipor, of a little bird, of a little pigeon. And because of that, the Gemara says, Rebavo Dide. Rebavo, remember we said before, Rebavo spoke in the name of Rebbe Lazar, now says Rebavo on his own, I have a new drasha. It's not Oichel, Habo Machmas Oichel, a derivative or offspring of another Oichel, but rather, Rebavo Dide Oma Mikol Oichel Asheyachel, Oichel Sheata Oichel Bas Achas. Oichel Asheyachel means that you can eat the entire oichel at one time. You don't have to go and bite and chew it into little pieces. One swallow, the whole thing goes down. Shir Chachamim, Hein, Beis, Habliya, Machzik, Yoyisermi, Beis, Tarnagoyis. The average individual's throat or food pipe would allow for the swallowing of one Beis Tarnagoyis simultaneously. Anything more than that wouldn't go. And of course, anything less than that works. But since it says Mikol Oicha Sheyochel, we're trying to find the Oichel that fits perfectly when it's swallowed, that it's an Oichel Sheat Oichel Basachas, and that is a Beis Tarnagoylis, and that's the Makor that Tumas Oichlin is the Kedeya. And with this, we put two dots, and we start a new shtickle. Since we brought Rebbe Lazar, we bring Rebbe Lazar once again. I'm Rebbe Lazar. Ha'oichel chile b'zman hazeh tzorach she'yichtoiv loy shiur she'b'yo b'bezden acher v'yar v'b'shiur. Rebbe Lozer is talking about a time when unfortunately the Beis Hamikdash was no longer. And Rebbe Lozer is saying that any time you do an iser kores b'shogeg, you should write it down. Because Meheri Yibana Beis Hamikdash and Yitzhem the Beis Hamikdash will soon be rebuilt. And the first thing that we're going to have to do is bring a whole bunch of karbonos chatos for all of those isurim that we did b'shogeg. So, if you ate, for instance, a piece of chaylev, write it down. Now, that you write it down, that's not the big chiddush. The chiddush of Rebbe Lazar is that you write down the amount that you ate. You put down, I ate 2.3 ounces, 4.5 ounces. Whatever it is, the amount of chaylev that you wrote, write it down. Why is that so important? Just write. I ate chaylev and finished, and I'll have to go and bring a korban chatos. Says Yimor Shem Yom Bezin Acher. Maybe at the time of the Hakamas Hamikdash, the Binyan Habayis Hashlishi, then the Bezin will decide at that time the Yarba B'Shurim, and I'll tell you that the shear that you had until now was incorrect, but rather it is Yarba. It's a larger shear. What do you mean, my Yarba Shurim? What are you talking about? Maybe the pshat is that until now you always assumed that the amount of chaylev that is mechayev a korban chatos is a nice, large, plump kezayis, and you're going to assume that what you ate was only a normal, ordinary kezayis, not a big kezayis, a small kezayis, and therefore you figure, I'm not going to have to bring a korban chatos, nothing to worry about. And maybe in the later generations, when the Bezin will come up again and decide these things, they're going to say, oh no, no, the amount that you ate, you have to bring a korban chatos. Oh, so that's why it's so important to write down how much I ate. Because although I thought that the kezayis is really, and again I'm throwing out arbitrary numbers, I thought that the amount of chaylev to the mechuyev v'chatos is 5 ounces. And I only ate 3.5 ounces. So I figured, yeah, nothing to worry about. Maybe a later Bezin will say, 3 ounces is already enough for a kezayis. And I ate 3.5. And I got to go and bring a korban chatos. Maybe that's why I should write it down, because a future Bezin is going to go and say, you're going to have to bring a korban because you ate a kezayis katan. What time you learn in the braisa? Asher lo yisiyos sena bishkoga vi oshem. Asher mi diyosay, maybe korban al shigigosay. Lo yisiyos mi diyosay, maybe korban al shigigosay. What is all of this about? It says in the Pasuk, the pasuk that we're quoting from is by the Nasi, but the same thing applies to all of the Karbonos Chatos. In looking at Ois Gimel, it's probably three in your Gemaras. Asher Nasi Yecheta, V'yosa Achas Mikol Mitzvos Hashem Alekav, Asher Loisi Osena, V'shkoga V'oshem. And then the next pasuk says, Oyhoida Ilov Chatosay Asher Chatabah. And the Gemara dashes from these extra words, Asher lo yisiyosena bishkoga v'oshem, Ayhoida, Asher lo yisiyosena, etc. Ayhoida lo v'chatos eshechot haba, that these psukim are telling to tell us that the only time that you have to bring a korban chatos is if you knew at the time, had you known at the time, that what you were doing was an aveira, that you were eating, for instance, chaylev instead of Shuman, or you were doing a Malach on Shabbos when you thought it was Friday or Sunday, and had you been informed, Yankel, stop, you're eating Chaylev. Oh no, I didn't know I was eating Chaylev. Or, Yankel, stop, it's Shabbos. Oy vavoy, I thought it was Friday. Etc. If you are a Shavmi Diyosei, the type of person that would immediately refrain from this activity if he had a yediyah, if he knew what was going on, then that person is maybe karnal shigigosa. However, lo yishav miyediyosay, if at the time the person would be told that this is chaylev, eh, who cares? It's Shabbos today, bleh, I don't care. If he was going to continue doing it anyway, even though his initial eating or initial commission of an aveira was a shogeg, however, if he would be informed midstream, you're being over innocent, I don't care. See, since he's not a shavmi diyosei, he does not bring a korban chatos because it has a status like a mezid, and he wouldn't bring a korban chatos. So what does the Gemara mean to say? Our Gemara mean to say is, since this person is under the impression that the minimum to be mechuyev a korban chatos by a chaylev is 5 ounces, if we were to tell him at that time, Mr. A, the shear of chaylev is really 3 ounces, and you're eating already more than 3 ounces, his reaction would be, big deal. Although, of course, I'm over an Isur min ha-toyra, chotzi shear is also min ha-toyra mid-rabbanan, but the gabe hilchos shear, I have not reached 5 ounces yet. So, that would not cause me to feel, I better bring a korban chatos, I better stop. Because a shavmi diyosei, maybe korban shigigosei, only a person that would stop when he is advised that he's being over an iser, that's me mechayev a korban. But if you would have advised him at that time that you've eaten already 3 ounces, he would say, big deal, I'm not mechayev a korban until I hit 5 ounces. And therefore the person would be potter on a korban chatos. So what's the purpose, Rebbe Lazar, of writing down that you ate 3.5 ounces. So Timur Ella Pug Faket. So the Mechayvi Korban at the Ika Kazai is Godoil. Just the opposite. That the reason why you should write down 3.5 ounces is because what happens if you assume that the shear is a small shear, like 3 ounces, and therefore you're convinced that when the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, that you're going to go and bring a Korban Chatas. Therefore, write it down. Because maybe a later Bezin is going to come and they're going to say, the shear was not 3. It's not 3.5. It's a Chazon Ish shear. It's a shear of 5 ounces. And therefore, you're parted from bringing a Korban Chatas. And don't even think about bringing a Korban Chatas. Because if you want to bring a Korban Chatas to be on the safe side, you cannot bring a Chatas bin Adova. You're going to be bringing Chulin Ba'azora. And we have another benefit by learning this new pshat, because we started off Umr Belozer. The reason why you should write it down is because maybe a bezel will come and be Yarbe B'Shiurin. Oh, that makes a lot of sense now. Yarbe B'Shiurin means they're going to increase the shear. Until now we thought the shear was 3 ounces, and the shear is really 5 ounces, and that's why you're off the hook. You don't have to bring a Korban Chatas. But if that's the case, what was in fact the Havamina? According to the original pshat that we were learning, that the reason why you should write it down is because you think that shear is 5 ounces, but a later bezin might say it's 3 ounces. That's not Yarbe B'Shiurim. That's V'chore Yemayet B'Shiurim. Not that they're going to increase. They're going to decrease the shear. So tomorrow, my Yarbe Shiurim, what does that mean? So tomorrow, Shemi Yarbe Karbanois, Machma Shiurim. Yarbe Shiurim doesn't mean they're going to increase the Shiurim. They're going to increase the number of Karbanois Chatas that must be brought, because they're going to be Mamayit the Shiur. They're going to say the Shiur is not 5, as you had assumed all along, 5 ounces. It's only 3 ounces. So countless people will now have to bring Karbanos Chatos because they ate more than 3 ounces, even though they thought they were potter because it was less than 5 ounces. And with this, we put two dots. And we, yes. Yes, David. I don't think it's a question of halacha being reinterpreted. I think it's getting clarification. Because as we know, from the time of the Beis Hamikdash, until today, unfortunately we have not had the opportunity to bring any karbanis, including a Korban Chatas. So the question of how large a kezayis is has been in fact a hot topic throughout the generations from the times of Chazal until today. Is the famous tshuva of the Noidim Yehuda that said that he measured and he experimented and he tested and he found that the shiurim had changed radically from earlier days to his times. And even up to today there are svarim that are written on the shiurim when it comes to Pesach. How much do you have to go and drink in your kos to be yoytze the arba kosis? How much shmura matzah do you have to eat to be yoytze matzah? So there are all different types of shiurim. You have Rav Noah from Eretz Yisrael wrote a whole chibur on shiurim. The Chazon Ish disagreed with many of his shiurim. So it's a hot topic in terms of what the shiur of, for instance, a revius of wine. Is it 3.3 ounces, 4 ounces, 5 ounces, 5.5 ounces? Whatever, there are multiple shiurim. So what the Gemara is saying, Sidra Blazer, even in my day, Sidra Blazer, we don't know exactly what the shiurim are, because it hasn't been halacha l'maisa ever since the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. It will eventually become halacha l'maisa. So write down what the amount is. So if and when, not if, but when Mi'at Hashem the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt, then you'll be able to take out all of your notebooks and all of your shiurim. We'll be able to tell you, are you chayv or are you potter from bringing a Korban Chatas? But we're not being mechadish anything. We're just writing that. Yes, what's up here? Yeah.
To your reminder, you explained very well.
Thank you.
Is there any other where one is Kushish Shema get a little feedbacker and we'll talk to him in a different way.
Not to my knowledge. But you are going to find in another few lines that this was already, that with regard to certain mitzvahs and certain shiurim and things of that nature, there was a period of time where Klal Yisrael forgot and someone had to come and be mechadish. Let's just look at the next Shikul Gemara and hopefully that will add a little bit to the answer. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, shiurim va'oin shen halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. The shiurim that we have, like the shiur of Kizayis, that's halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. Similarly, oinshin. Oinshin means punishment. Faith in Gemara, oinshin, michlev ksivi. Oinshin and not halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. It's very clear in the Torah. If chas v'sholom a person, for instance, doesn't fast in Yom Kippur, v'nirchirsa, and legabi other isurim, the Torah says, the mayim bom, which means skila, and other things are chemic. So we clearly have it in the Torah. We don't need a loch l'mesh v'sinai. The Gemara ella hachi komas pshat of Rabbi Yochanan that shiurim shall oinchen a loch l'mesh v'sinai. Ah, how do you know that you're not going to be mechuyev an oinish on eating chazir or on eating basar b'cholov or eating nevelos and treifos where the shiur is a kazayis? Where does it say that? The shiur of an oinish doesn't say the version of the Torah that the shiur of achila is kazayis. That we learn halacha l'moshe mi sinai. And in fact, tanya b'hachi shiurim shel oinshin halacha l'moshe mi sinai. Like we just said, it's not shiurim the oinshin; it's shiurim shel oinshin. Achirim oinim. Others say beizdino shel yabetz tiknum. It was the bezdin of yabetz. Who's yabetz? Nowadays, yabetz is usually understood to be Rabbi Yankov Emden. However, that wasn't in the time of the Gemara. So Rashi tells us Yabetz is another name for Asniel ben Kenaz. And all of you Tanakh experts know that Asniel ben Kenaz was the first Shofet. And there's a very famous Gemara in Mesechtes Temura, which we're going to quote in another moment, that in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu's Ptira, Klal Yisrael lost 3,000 halachas. And Vehechziran Asniel ben Kenaz bepil pulai. And that's what the Gemara is going to tell us at this very moment. So the Gemara that Bezdin Shulyah Beitz Tiknum, the Bezdin of Asniel ben Kenaz, was Mesakein the Shear of Oinshin. Mesakein means he legislated it. Frank the Gemara said, that's impossible. It says in the Pasuk, Eva Mitzvah She'ein Novi Rishoy Lechadish Dovim Liyata. We state the Mitzvah, the Pasuk in towards the end of Vayikra, Eva Mitzvah Sashetiv Hashem as Moshe Bnei Yisrael Behar Sinai. I believe you say now Chazak Chazak. I think that's the last pasuk at the end of Chukosai. But regardless, but Eila Mitzvahs, these are the mitzvahs. And Gemara learns from now what does it mean Eila Mitzvah? Ain't no Birshur Bechadish Bemiyata. You cannot add to the mitzvah. You can make Gzeirois, you can make Takonois, but you cannot go and add to the 613 mitzvahs. So Gemara is saying is, how did Osniel ben Kenaz go and be Mechadish the Shiurim al Oinshin? We didn't know that until now. Didn't we know until now that the Shir Kizayis? What do we do until Asniel ben Kenaz came on the scene? Says Malashok v'chazur yosim. These are things that were forgotten over time, and they had to be reinstated. And that's what the Gemara says again in Maseches Temura, that when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, they forgot 3,000 halachas, and came Asniel ben Kenaz, and he was machzir v'pupulai. He was such a great Talmud Chacham, he was able to fill in all the blanks that we had forgotten. So hopefully that adds a little bit to what we were discussing before, David. That over time things have been forgotten, and we've needed later Batidinim to go and explain. And that's what the Gemara said. Says Rabbi Yochanan, when it comes to the Shiurim, we don't have clarity. We have all types of different viewpoints. The Bezin finally will decide at that time who's right and who's wrong, what the Shiur is, and then you'll know whether you have to bring a Karban Chatos or not. Okay, and we continue on. I show you some Aloy Lugmov. Show you some Lulugmav. Just by the way, just one final footnote, David, to what you were asking about 70, 80 years ago when Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, was coming back to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, they already had Yin ready from before that, but there was really no sefer that set forth all of the halachas of Tzvias Baretz, such as Hilchos Shmita, Trumos, Maestris, anything having to do with the mitzvahs of Tzvias Baretz. And we were zocheh in the previous generation to have the great giant Chazon Ish, that wrote several very large svarim on that, and that is considered to be the Bible, so to speak. Any discussion today about Hilchos Shmita, Hilchos Yovel, Trumos Maisis, etc., that's the, of course, you have to first look in the Chumash and the Rambam, goes without saying, but then the Shulchan Aruch on that is a Chazon Ish, because there is no Shulchan Aruch on Hilchis Eretz Yisrael, Milt Mitzvah Sekluyas Baaretz, and therefore he wouldn't say that he was Mechadish, but it's in the same Bechina of Shokchum V'chazer V'yistim. Over the years it had come, it was not the type of thing that people focused on, because unfortunately we didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, but now when the new Doyers started coming in and living in Eretz Yisrael, then the Chazonish was Chazer V'yistim, he was Miyasid once again all the basic halachas that had been, that had not been in practice for so many years. Okay, continue on. Now, in our Mishnah, it said that if you eat a shir ki koisvis, or if you drink a shir of Malay Lugmav, then you're over on the din of Inui, and you're chayiv on Yom Kippur. So now, Malay Lugmav means that your two cheeks are full. You see the person, and you see that, you can see that the cheeks are full of liquid in it. That's the minimum shir. We don't mean both cheeks. That's enough. And Rashi explains that means you don't have to have two cheekfuls, one cheekful is enough. So that if you were able to take your tongue and push all the liquid to one side, so the one side of the cheek looks nice and full, so people who stood or are standing on that side see that cheek, oh, it looks like he has a cheekful. They don't see the other cheek because he's standing profile, he's not standing to your front. So therefore, that's what he means, just push all the liquid to one side, that's the shir malay lugmav, not both, but one cheek is enough. But it says in the Mishnah malay lugmav, which sounds like both cheeks. After ema kim malay lugmav, don't learn malay, but kim malay, which means like. It has the appearance of two cheeks because you're only looking at the individual from one side. That's enough for purposes of Inui on Yom Kippur. We have a braisa. We will see it's not so simple. It's a multi-tana machloikas. What's the shear of being chayiv on Yom Kippur? Beishami om, the shear is a revius. Beisil says maloy lugmav. Oh, our mishnah is like Beisil. Reb Yehuda Oymer Mishum Reb Lazer, or Lazer, Kimaloi Lugmav, the Shir is Kimaloi Lugmav. Aha. Reb Yehuda Ben Beseira Oymer, Kidei Gimir. Kidei Gimir means the amount that you can swallow at one time. Like we said before about eating, you can swallow one Kidei Beya Tarni Goylis. Here too, the amount that you can swallow at one time in a liquid. So what does it say in this price? So the Beis Hillel says Maloi Lugmav. Ah, Reb Yehuda Mishmul said it's not Maloi Lugmav. It's only Kimaloi Lugmav. So tomorrow, Miadif and Masnisen, I don't understand what your kasha is. Just like when we had the Mishnah that said Maloi Lugmav, we said, it doesn't really mean Maloi Lugmav. Do Kimna Kidei Shira? That it means Kimaloi Lugmav, how much you can go and see from one side. It appears to be as if it's both cheeks, but really it's only one cheek. So Hachanami say the same shot in the Braisa. That when the Beis Hillel said Maloi Lugmav also means Kidei Shira, which means Kimaloi Lugmav. It's an easy fix, just like you fixed our Mishnah. Says Gemara, no, that doesn't work. Because in the Mishnah only had one Shita, which was Maloi Lugmav. Here in this price it says, Beis Hillel says Maloi Lugmav, and Rabbi Yehuda says Mishim Relazar, Kimaloi Lugmav. So if I'm going to say that Beis Hillel also holds Kimaloi Lugmav, and that's the same sheet that Reb Lazer says in our Mishnah, where it says Kimaloi Lugmav. So I cannot institute that quick fix. Everyone know both of them are Kimaloi Lugmav. Maloi Lugmav Dochuk. What happens to Maloi Lugmav? Not a nice, robust, full cheek. 90% full cheek. 75%. Yeah, it's full, but it's not full bursting at the seams. That if you pricked it, all the wine would start splashing out from all sides. It means that it was full, but who holds what? So Rashi says, because of the fact that we said that Beis Hillel says, Miloy Lugmav, even though we're teaching it, we're interpreting to be Kimaloy Lugmav, but it's got to be a robust Kibbalei Lugmas. Although it's only on one side of the face, but that side has got to be full. It doesn't have to be full. 80% is also enough. It's a Maloi Lugmav Tochuk. Somebody had a question? If that's what you're going to go and tell me, that you don't need two cheekfuls, it's enough to have one cheekful. As we know, typically throughout Shas, it's Veshame that is Machmir, it's Beis Hillel that is Mekel, and there are a few select cases where it's the other way around, and those are all listed in Masechtas Idiyos. And the question is, if this is the Pshat Taka and the Braisa, like you're learning, then this should also be listed. Why? Because until now we assumed that Beis Shammai says a revius, which is what Beis Shammai says. We assume that Beis Hillel says Maloi Lugmav both cheeks. Both cheeks, the Gemara assumes, are larger than a sheer revius. And if they are larger than a sheer revius, then that is a kula. That is not a chumra, which means that you would only get kares if you drank a revius plus. According to Beis Shammai, as soon as you drank a revius, it's curtains. It's kares. According to Beis Hillel, no. Revius is not enough. It's only when it's both cheekfuls. But if we're saying now that even one cheekful is less than a revius, so as soon as you hit your one cheekful, according to Beis Hillel, you're chayiv, and according to Beis Shammai, you're still potter until you get that sheer revius. So then it's a case of Kuli Beis Shammai, Mechor Beis Hillel. Amalei, on to the Amid Beis, says Gemara, you're right by the average individual, but Maloi Lugma, by definition, is a subjective standard, not an objective standard. And therefore, each individual, you have to look at his or her cheek. And the Shaila in the Braisa was not talking about you or me, a regular individual. They were talking about a person that has the dimensions of Oig Melech HaBashan, who had huge cheeks. So for him, even just one cheek far exceeded the amount of the revius of Beisham. In that case, Beisham is Chumra. You just drank a little revius. For Oig Melech HaBashan, revius is garnished. But nevertheless, Beisham says, you're chayif. According to Beis Hillel, your potter until Oig Melech HaBashan drinks a huge, huge quantity. Maslu Reb Zeira, Maishna Achila de Chol Chad V'Chad B'Kol Kaseves, or Maishna Shtia de Chol Chad V'Chad B'Didei. So Reb Zeira is asking a very, very simple, fundamental question. When it comes to eating, we said that everybody has the same shear. So does he eat a Kaseves, a Kaseves, Gasa V'Gari Nasa, the shear of a nice, large, plump date, including the shear of the pit, like we had yesterday in the Gemara. And remember the beautiful demonstration that Reb Shloimeh showed us with the date. I was thinking about that demonstration, Reb Shloimeh. Is Reb Shloimeh on the with us? Yes, of course he is. Baruch Hashem. So I was thinking about that. If you remember years ago, I remember the first time when they imported oranges from Eretz Yisrael, Yaffa oranges, here to America. You obviously saw these huge oranges compared to the American oranges, and then when you cut it open, you found that about half of it, or close to half of it, was outer peel, and the inside was a much smaller amount of fruit. By the way, of course, there are issues about eating Eretz Yisrael fruit outside of Eretz Yisrael because of the fact that Trumas and Maestras, Shemitah, but we're not going to go into those shaylos. What I'm just trying to point out is that in America, if you would ask someone, what is the percentage of peel to as compared to the orange? So, why it's 5%, 10% is peel and the rest of it is orange. Well, those Yaffa oranges, I would say, 40% was peel, maybe 50% was peel, and the rest was orange. So you see that, depending on the area, the climate, the time, etc., you can have larger or smaller shiurim. And apparently the Gemara is telling us that in the times of Chazal, the garin, the date of certain koisvoisin, of certain tomorrow, certain dates, was in fact larger in volume than the outside date itself. So the fact that today it may not be the case, maybe there are certain regions in Africa where in fact it's different, or whatever. Anyway, That's as an aside. But getting back to our Gemara again.
We had the examples of Miracle being back the giant fruits.
Square Slimer, thank you. Thank you very much. You're absolutely right. So you don't even need to come on to Yaf Oranges. We have the Miracle. Beautiful. Yes, exactly. For by at least 1 or 2 years. Shekoach. But let's get back to Agamara. So Agamara tells us, Namaskar Rab Zeira, Maishna Achila, the Cholchad Bechad Bekoisevis. The Shir of the Mishnah is everybody in Klal Yisrael from A to Z, whether you happen to be Chas V'Shalom a midget, or whether you happen to be a giant like Oyin Melech HaBashan, the same Shir applies to the Koises. A Maishna Shtia, that all of a sudden depends, Cholchad Bechad Bekoisevis, it's a subjective standard, whether or not you're an Oyin Melech HaBashan, you look at his cheeks, which might be, 20 ounces, and you look at a little guy, and maybe it's 3 ounces, depending on how large his cheeks are. Omle bai, kimli rabbanu bikin kaisavis the mahachi meisva daite, vats mahachi le meisva. So Abaye said is when the chachamim that instituted the shiurim for these types of matters, they came up with a conclusion that for a person to eat a kaisvis, that gives yishuv hadas. When it comes to drinking, you have to drink an amount that is good for you. Everybody knows today about the problems of dehydration. Every person needs the amount of fluids and liquids that he or she needs. So to go and say that because my friend only needs 3 ounces and that person is fine, that's not enough for me. For me, I have to have 6 ounces, or 10 ounces, or 12 ounces. So, depending on the person's proportions, he or she, if they happen to be larger than everybody else, then the amount of shtia is malay lugmav, whatever that person's cheeks are. If the person happens to be smaller, they only need the amount of liquid that fills their cheeks. So, even though by a solid item, the Chacham decided that koisis is good for everybody to have yishuv hadas, but that's an objective standard. By shtia, by drinking, it depends on the individual to give him or her yishuv hadas based on their proportions, and that's why you go according to their respective cheeks. Maslur of Zeira, v'chol oilem kulay b'koisis, v'oy melech habashim b'koisis. Come on. I don't believe that. I don't understand that. All of us regular individuals, one koisis is enough to give us yishuv hadas, to give us a certain comfort level. You're going to tell me Oyin Melech HaBashan eats that same amount, it gives him the same comfort level. The Chacham instituted an objective standard across the board of koisis, because they say by everybody in this world, if they eat at least a koisis, they get a certain level of comfort. Meal. But we will agree that kuli alma tuva, the average individual, if he eats a kakoisvis, then the comfort level is a pretty good, strong comfort level. Oh, I ate a kakoisvis. I don't have to eat now for the next 2-3 hours. Baruch Hashem, I have a certain degree of satisfaction. Vayim melech ambashen, porta. He doesn't get to that same degree of comfort level. He only is a grade C comfort level. Everybody else is a grade A comfort level. To him, it's a grade C. But he also has a comfort level. It's not as if it's just a mashal. Even for Oyin Melech HaBashan, eating a kaisvis is a significant amount of food. It doesn't take away the hunger pains as much as it would for anybody else, but it does take away a certain degree of the hunger pains. Maskul Rav Zeira, let me ask you, Bosu Shomin Bikikoisvis, Ulovi Gefanim Bikikoisvis, if you serve a person a nice piece of fatty meat, which is the shir kikoisis, don't you think that gives a person a greater comfort level than somebody eats lovi gefanim, who eats a chvais, shoots from a vine? In other words, do you feel just as full from eating a salad as you feel from eating a piece of fish or a piece of meat? Come on! Amli Abai, Kimu Rabbanan, established the rule, the Bahachi Meis Vadaite, that if you eat a kikoisvis, regardless of which food item it is, it gives you yishuv hadas, it gives you a comfort level. But to be hakli meisadaita, less than that is goodish. Meal, basa shamin tuva, I agree with you that the comfort level when you eat a piece of meat is a greater degree, a grade A comfort level. Loving a fine porta, it's a lesser degree, it's only a grade C. But you do get a comfort level. Not exactly the same, but it's also in the same category of comfort. Masnur Rava, Kizayis Bechde Achilles Pras, the Koisvis Bechde Achilles Pras. So Rava says throughout the year, anytime a person eats Chas V'Shalom an Isur, such as Nevelis, Treifis, Chazer, whatever, the shir is if you eat a Kizayis within it, Achilles Pras. Exactly how long Achilles Pras is a hot issue. Some say that that's 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever it happens to be. It's a few minutes. So if you eat a kezayis within that short period of time, then you have to get, depending on what you ate, you can get malchus or sometimes koris, depending on what the food item is, you get an onesh because it was klei achilas pras. If you eat it over a longer period of time, you ate a full kezayis of chazer, but it took you 20 minutes to eat it, you don't get petch for that, you don't get malchus, but of course you're over on an iser, chotishir osim anatayim. What about a koisvis? So koisvis l'choyre the shir should also be k'dei achilas koisvis, or more than achilas pras. Achilas pras means like a half a kikar, and whatever that shir is. So if that's the shir of time that we're giving for eating a kezayis, since a koisvis is larger than a kezayis, so it should be more than achilas pras. It should be achilas pras plus another minute and a half or whatever, because this is a larger thing that you're consuming. Only Abaye kim l'rabbanu de b'hachi meis v'daiteh v'tfei mihachi loy meis v'daiteh. Abaye said that the Chachamim concluded that if you eat a kikoisis within achilas pras, within the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes, that gives you comfort level. If you're spreading it over a longer period of time, even though kikoisis is larger than a kezayis, you no longer have that comfort level. If you just mash a drop here and a drop over there, that doesn't give you the comfort level. Only if you eat it in a very short period of eating, like 3, 4, 5 minutes. Maskul Rava. So Rava says, the Gabi Ekzayis is a Bechdei Achilas Pras. What about Chutzi Pras? Is that also Bechdei Achilas Pras? Now what is Rava referring to? Back in the beginning of Masechtes Shabbos, we learned about the 19 dinim of Tumah that the Chum instituted. And one of the dinim was the din of Tumas Gevia. Tumas Gevia means that what happens if a kohen were to eat an ochel or a mashke that is tame. Now normally an ochel or mashke that is tame can only be metame other ochel or mashke. It cannot be metame adam. And therefore if a person eats a mashke which is tame, drinks a mashke with his tame, or eats an ochel which is tame, okay, you shouldn't have eaten it, but nothing happens. There's no chain reaction as a result. However, the Chum said, I want to be very careful, because maybe, if a Kohen drinks, for instance, wine which is Tamei, and that person is Chulin wine. What happens if that Kohen has in his palate, between his teeth, under his tongue, he still has some remnants of Truma from a piece of bread that he ate a few minutes ago. He's going to go and drink tummy dicker wine, and that tummy dicker wine is going to go and touch the truma bread in his mouth, and he's going to be metame the ochlin of truma, and truma of course goes into a shlishi. Or it could be that he has still something wet in his mouth. He just drank something, so his mouth is still moist from the wine that he drank, and now he goes and that wine was wine of truma, and now he's going to eat a regular ochel which is Chulin, which is Tamei, it's going to be Metamei the Trum in his mouth. And therefore the Chacham said, you know what? Don't eat Ochlin Tamein, don't drink Mashkin Tamein. And if you do, you yourself become Tamei. So now the Gemara says, what is the shiur that you have to eat so that your body, that the person becomes Tamei? Special din, a Chutzi Pras. Chutzi Pras, as Rashi means, at least the volume of two eggs. Now that being the case, since normally a kezayis bechdei achilas pras, for two eggs we should give him more than achilas pras, we should give him even more than two achilas prasais, because after all, one egg is larger than a kezayis, and certainly two eggs are larger than two kezayisim. So we should really increase the amount of time. But halach is nishtazoi, that if a person eats a chatzi pras, 2 egg volume of ochlin to mayim, he has to eat a b'chdei achilas pras to metame his guf. Why? That doesn't make sense. Amir Papa, I'll tell you why. Hanachal Tumas Gviyah, the Lav Yeraisihi. The whole din of Tumas Gviyah is the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan were Meikel. The Rabbanan don't want people to become Tame. And so they said, you're only going to become Tame if you eat it relatively quickly. That you eat these 2 eggs quickly, within 3, 4, 5 minutes, then you become Tame. However, if you expand and eat it over 10 or 12 minutes, then you're not going to become Tame. So the Rabbanan wanted to add a leniency to their din of Tumah, so that not every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to become Tomei by eating Ochlin Tomein, only if you eat it with a quick shear within Kedei Achilles Pras. That's what Rav Papa answered. Frank Tumami Omer Rav Papa, how did Rav Papa say that the din of Tumas Gviya is Rabbanon? Voksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Legabe Shrotzim, Al Tishatzuis Nafshi Seichem B'chol Asheretz HaShoretz, so Rav Papa learned from these words, that if you eat ochlin tamein, you become tamein min haTorah. Oh, Rav Papa said a moment ago that tumas gviyah is lav diraisa, it's midrabanan, and now the very same Rav Papa says that it's diraisa. Rav Papa, make up your mind. And for the Gemara, midrabanan, v'kras machta bi'alma, avad, Rav Papa agrees. This is one of the 19 gezeirois of the Chachamim that we learned back in the Masechta Shabbos, that the din of Tumas Gviyah is b'chdei achilas pras. You eat a chatzi pras, b'chdei achilas pras. Oh, why b'chdei achilas pras? Why isn't b'chdei achilas much more than a pras? Because a chatzi pras, 2 eggs, is much long, much more than a kazayas, because it's Rabbanon. Rabbanon were mekel. Aye, the Papa learns it from Lissatam, Bohem, and it may some bum. That's only an asmachta, that's not the real McCoy, it's really mid Rabbanon. Okay, finally we get towards the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that all oichon amitztarif to the shear of kikoisvis, and all mashke amitztarif to the shear of meloi lugmav. So therefore, when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, if you had a small piece of challah and a small piece of fish, and you had a small piece of meat, you know, whatever, each one on its own was small, but if you add them all up together, you ate a kikoisvis in the shear of kedei achilas pras, then the person, unfortunately, is oiver. If he did it b'mezid, it's karis, and b'shogig, you'd have to bring a karbon chatas. But only ochlin are mitztarif to ochlin, and only mashkin are mitztarif to mashkin. So therefore, if a person ate a half of a kikoisvis of a salad, and he drank a half of a kimloi lugmov of liquid, they are not mitztarif. And that's what the Gemara is going to focus on now. Om Rapap. Ochel umtza, if a person eats a piece of meat, umilcha, which was salted, and he eats it together, it's mitztarif. In other words, the meat on its own was less than a kikoisvis. By adding the salt to it, it's now more than a kikoisvis. Ah! You were over the iser of the kichol ha-nefesh eshlei se'una, the etzem ha-yem ha-zeh, menichrosa. Frank Gemar, v'yavagav v'lavachilehi, a'ay melach, salt is not edible. You can't go and eat salt. So how is that mitzdarf? After more, kim diachli inchi mitzdarf. Avad, if you eat salt on its own, that's not edible. But eating salt placed on the top of meat, oh, that people do. That kim diachli inchi. Therefore, the two are mitzdarf together to get over the shear of the kikoisis. And similarly, Omer Ish Lakish, tzir shal gabi yerek, a person who's eating a vegetable salad, and he pours on a tzir, he puts on salad dressing. Tzir is actually fish yoach, but you understand. What we mean is that you put some sort of salad dressing on top of the yerek, and you eat it together, and together you have a shir kikoisis and mitzarif. Mitzarif and kikoisis be yom kippur. Veit mar pshita. Of course, I mean, that's how people eat salad. They put on salad dressing. The amount is same in mashku. I would say the salad dressing is a liquid, and liquids and solids don't mix for purposes of the shir kikaisis. Kamashulam kachshuri uchla uchlahu. Anything that's used to go and improve on the taste of the ochel, and those people that eat salad dressing with their salads feel that it is an improvement and enhancement of the ochel. So therefore, it's mitzaref to the ochel, and that's why you would have your shir of the kikaisis after all. Amrish lachish. What happens if a person on Leil Yom Kippur, that means right before the Zman, he eats until he is full, so that he should be able to fast well on Yom Kippur, and then in Shul, he takes out a candy bar, and he eats more and more and more on Yom Kippur itself, and whatever he's eating now is an Achila Gasa, which means he's ready to throw up, because he was already full to the brim, 100%, when he came to shul. He already ate a full meal. And now he's eating more and more and more. All you have to do is go and give him a little bit of a prick, and you'll see there'll be an explosion. Everything that he's eaten is going to come out. So it's a achila gasa. What's the din? Potter. There's no din of bringing a karm chatos. He doesn't get koreis. My time, because there's a bada shaloi sa'una. Kechol ha'nefesh loi sa'una, ve'etzem yom hazeh, ve'nichrasa. Ashaloi sa'una ksif. Prat lemazik. When do I say that it's that you are not having inui? When you're eating normal quantities up to your fill, but more than your fill. Where Rashi says it's going to be mazik, both the food and the person, that's not inui. If you look at Rashi, four lines to the bottom, it says Rashi, pratlim mazik, lezeh, she'enim avatel mimenu, shum inui ayidei achilazu. By eating this additional amount, he's not pushing away any hunger pains. To the contrary, he's probably adding torture to his torso by eating and eating and eating. He's mazik himself, he's mazik the food. That's not called eating. It's not called the reverse of inui. And therefore, bottom line is, he's pot. And the Gemara says the same type of concept applies to a person who's eating truma. A zor means a non-kohen who eats truma. Achila gasa. Normally, a zor that eats truma is mechuyev to pay keren v'chomesh. Here he's mishalmas a keren, but any mishalmas a chomesh. He only has to pay the keren and not the additional chomesh. Why not? Because the pasuk says the ish ki yoichal kodesh bishgoga yoichal. The Yosef Chamishisi Olav, he has to go and add a Chomesh. That's Davki Yochal. Prat Lamazik, he's not an Ochel, but he's a Mazik. So therefore, he's caused financial damage to the Kohen. So Vadi has to pay the Keren, but he doesn't have to pay the Chomesh. If you have a Zor, that's Koseis. Koseis means to go and chew Sa'oirim. In other words, not to eat it normally, but to chew it like chewing gum. He chews and chews and chews, and eventually he spits it out. She's koisis sa'irim, shel truma, shamas keremin, shamas chaymish. Why, again, ki yoichal, when you eat it and you have nourishment and it goes down the food pipe and you're eating it. Dos haiski ges. Prat lemazik, but if your person is mazik it, you're taking the sa'irim and you chew and chew and chew and then you spit it out. So all you've done is, you've been mazik the truma, you haven't eaten the truma, and therefore, in the shamas keremin, you have to pay keremin because you've been mazik, but you don't have to add the chaymish. And one final case, Rav Shimon ben Rabbi Yochanan, Zor Shabala Shizofen Shel Truma. Now, in Eretz Yisrael today, Shlomo will tell us Shizifim is the term that they use for plums, right? And in the times of Chazal, it wasn't plums, it was prunes. How do I know it was prunes? Look at Rashi on the second line. Rashi says Shizifim, prunes Velaz. So I can't tell you that the time of the Gemara, but certainly the times of Rashi in France, the word shizifim meant prunes. And it could very well be that people didn't have an ample supply of fresh plums, because as you know, plums do not stay very long, and if you don't have refrigeration, it'll just go bad very quickly. So they would allow them to dry in the field until they became prunes. So that was the plums of the shizifim that they ate in those days. Anyway, so Zor Shabbala, Shizofim Shel Truma. Now the Gemara uses the expression Shabbala very, very consciously to tell us that the person didn't eat it, he just swallowed it. He took a full prune, hopefully he had removed the pit, and he took the prune, and he just swallowed it all at once, and it went straight down. So Shabbala, Shivim Shel Truma, Veikian, eventually after that he spit it up, in other words, he regurgitated. The Ochlan Acher, and now someone found that regurgitated prune, and he decided, Mister, I'm desperate, I'm hungry. The Ochlan Acher, and the second person, ate now for the second time the very prune that was eaten the first time. Maybe that's the reason why the first person didn't chew it, he just swallowed it, so that the second person will be able to eat it. Because had he chewed it, wouldn't be easy to go and to eat the second time. Anyway, bottom line is, what's the halacha? Says Rabbi Yochanan, Rishon Mishalim Keren V'Chaymish. Since he ate it, the first person's chayav Keren V'Chaymish. You're saying to yourself, what's the chiddush over here? He ate prunes of truma. So says Rashi, the chiddush is that even though he didn't eat it, he just swallowed it. Comes to tell you that swallowing alone is called derech achila, and you're chayav Keren V'Chaymish. However, Shani, the second person who ate it now the second time, he has to pay back now, not the Kohen, because the Kohen has been reimbursed by the first person who paid Keren V'Chaymish, who now owns this eaten prune, the first person. Oh, so you have to pay that first one, Dmei Eitzim. Why Dmei Eitzim? Says Rashi, because this prune, even though the second person decided to eat the prune, it's not Roi La'achila, because it was eaten and regurgitated. A normal sane individual who is not desperate would never eat it. So it's not Roi L'Achila. It is Roi L'Hasaka. If you let it dry out even further, eventually you can use it for fuel. So that's the amount that it's worth, like fuel and not like a food item. And here's where we'll stop. Yet you'll continue tomorrow. Any questions, Rabbi Sai?
What's the famous story from the second temple?